This is a replay of the Tuesday night, January 17th WGN show. We started around 11 after the game. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We've got a couple hours to spend together, and as I was saying during the tease into the program, what do you know about cesspools? So it all started when I got up today, and I realized a few minutes after that I just shouldn't have. Yeah, there was no reason to leave the bed. I belonged there. But indeed, I forged forward, and John said, "Could you come here a moment?" And usually when he says that, I know there's something really bad at the other end of that sentence. It never has it been because it's good news. And I, okay. And as I tentatively made my way through the kitchen and saw nothing, you know, nothing was on fire and nothing was flooding. So I figured, well, so far it's a home run. He said, "Just open the back door." To which I did, and my first reaction was, "Oh my God!" And yes, it looked like your average sinkhole until I realized that no, it was the cesspool, and yes, it had failed, and yes, it is a huge hole in the ground. Now, what's really interesting is that there's a paved walkway that goes over this, and the pavement is still hanging there. There's nothing under it, of course, but the cement is there. I thought, I'm not going to be the one to try out the integrity of that particular path. And the first thing I said to John is, "Uh-oh, the UPS delivery driver." He said, "Yeah, we'll get some caution tape right about now." And so we did. We cautioned off all the area. And I realized how absolutely little I know about cesspools. Now, I'm in the middle of nowhere, truly the middle of nowhere. Yeah, I don't think there's any point in Illinois that is nearly the middle of nowhere like this. This is not a population center, to say the least. And there's a talk of a coming sewer system, but that talk has been going on over 12 years now with absolutely no activity whatsoever. They say it's coming, but I figure that it will come sometime long after my demise. So in the meantime, here we have, back to the old days, cesspools. Now you're saying, why don't you have septic tanks? Good question. Because we can't. And the reason we can't is the EPA has rules about what you need in terms of setbacks, in terms of how far the leach fields have to be, and on the list is. But the bottom line to this, cutting to the chase, is that the lots on which these properties sit are not large enough. And so they don't accommodate septic system. So basically, it's cesspool or nothing, and right now here at Radio Ranch, it's nothing. And so I made the mistake of going online, which is always a mistake. Yeah, and worse than that, I looked for pictures. Oh yeah, no doubt what this is, but what was really frightening is how many articles were, you know, warning you not to go anywhere near it, but then saying that falling in one is certain death. Now, I know that's not true, because the previous owner of the radio stations years ago fell into the cesspool. Now, what I don't know is whether it is the same cesspool or was a neighboring cesspool, because, you know, when one collapses, usually you build another one right next to it. So in the meantime, I have utterly no information on this, as I say, other than warnings that it's certain death. And I didn't feel that those articles were anything I wanted to further. So since you know all and tell all, if there's anybody who knows much about cesspools, enlighten me. Of course, we called the service that normally cleans out, you know, septic tanks for lots that are big enough here and all that, and they were unavailable today. They were out driving around, I think was what they said. Yeah, only here. Could they, middle of the business day. Well, I can't come. Why, he's out driving around. Oh, well, will he be driving around tomorrow? No, he might be in. All right, we'll call him tomorrow. And so we will. But in the meantime, I must admit I was absolutely stunned at the certain death, and apparently they had examples of this, don't you know? And I know that Suffolk County, New York, which is out on Long Island past Nassau County, has been a cluster for decades. And part of that has to do with fraud and scams and government misappropriations. And they were going to have a real sewer system, but the money sort of disappeared for that along the way. And now some people out there are still on cesspool. Now, most of those lots are big enough for them to have septic, so the most that could be is a little expense. Now, this, by the way, is right after we had the plumbing redone, which was a mere, $35,000. Didn't seem that bad until John said, you know, you could have had a car for that. Yeah, it could have been a nice one, too. In any event, I'm seeing articles like man, son, and neighbor swallowed by cesspool. Yeah, a 71-year-old man went outside in the rain to pick up the Sunday newspaper, plunged into a cesspool. Yeah, and his son and his neighbor were sucked in while they were trying to help. It's a horror movie. But there it is. So, again, I know about septic tanks. This is not septic. This is not anything like septic. Oh, I guess in form it's somewhat like, but it's not. It's the good old cesspool. So if you have cesspool thoughts, well, I guess I want to hear them. Yeah, but break it to me gently. 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. And I see we'll talk to Valerie in Warrenville. Apparently she has a septic adventure. Hey, well, you know, that too. But I'm telling you, the cesspools are a world of their own, to say the least. And that's why there's a lot of abandoned houses there. And John and I looked at each other and I said, I don't know about you, but I'm not going. Yeah, I'm here now. Yeah, well, we'll see. So that was the deal on my day today. It started out rotten and actually went downhill, but also, oh yeah, well, maybe I won't spare you. I'm convinced that America is on the brink of not being operational. And why I say that is it seems that every interaction I've been having with business representatives has been going from bad to worse. Exemplar, the insurance industry. Now, I realize I'm a specialty client, being a broadcaster with cell towers and things of that nature. But even so, it shouldn't be this hard. And every day, it's like peeling an onion. And yes, I've been through several agents and several companies, and on it goes. The latest agent, brand new, was just highly recommended by an underwriter who normally does broadcast property. So we'll see, except getting him on the phone is sort of a challenge. I since found out he sells real estate in his spare time. But be that as it may, my shock was opening the mail to find out that the last agent did my workers' comp policy for a company I have that doesn't have employees. Mind you, the one that does apparently isn't covered. So, yeah, there are days that you say, I'm just not getting out of bed. There is no reason to. But here I am, and I've got a couple hours to spend with you, and I hope you'll spend it with me, and we'll get Sam and Gurney. He's got cesspool info. Oh, good. And Valerie and Leah. And James on the south side. Yes, by the way, as far as that goes, James, as usual, sent me 483 fine links. And I'll tell you, the people in Michigan have, you know, the bureaucrats, have clearly too much time on their hand. They banned over 1,000 books that they won't allow prisoners to read. And some of the titles are just mind-blowing, and I'm not sure how they, well, yes, I am. They won the Indoor Olympics conclusion jump category. That's all I can figure. But while they were at it, they also want to ban words. They're no longer going to use the word field. And the state of California is not going to use the word field anyway. And, yeah, I look at this and I say, well, I guess discussion of electronics is completely out now, right? That's not how they meant it. But If you have any idea what they had in mind, you can share that with me too. Otherwise, I'll try to go through the pretzel logic. So all that and more is coming up right here on WGN Radio.
If you ever go down Trinidad, they make you feel so very glad. Calypso sing and make up rhyme, guarantee you one real good fine time. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, beat it, man, beat it.
Since the Yankee come to Trinidad, they got the young girls all going mad. Young girls say they treat them nice, make Trinidad like paradise. Drinking rum and Coca-Cola, go down Point Cumana. Both mother and daughter, working for the Yankee dollar.
Oh, you vex me, you vex me.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and yes, that's the Andrews sister. Number one for 10 weeks, rum and Coca-Cola in 1945, January of 45, it first charted on Decca, and Marianne in Chicago wanted to hear it. And as usual, these songs are absolutely soap operas. If you look at it, you'll discover that Maury Amsterdam wrote it. No, he didn't. Actually, for years, it took Lord Invader and Lino Belasco to win. But they ultimately took it to court, and they did. They didn't get a lot of money as far as that goes. I think that Lord got $150,000 in back royalties, with Maury Amsterdam being allowed to retain the copyright. And Lord Invader also wrote a follow-up to Rum and Coca-Cola, Yankee Dollar, which I heard mentioned in that song, actually. So yes, all that aside, it was just a huge hit in the States. And Rupert Grant, who was Lord Invader, Rupert Grant wrote the lyrics. He's from Trinidad. All right, so 888-876-5593. Marianne also wanted to hear Java Jive, and she might not have known the title, but that was it. And we'll be getting the Four King Sisters. Tonight is all your request, I promise. That's what it'll be. So, all right, Sam and Gurney says he knows all about cesspools. So tell all Sam.
Well, I won't go that far, Raleigh, but I do want to say, without knowing the exact landscape or location of your property, I do have an idea that I think would be helpful, and even if it's for a temporary time, I do know enough about it to say that if you ran like 4-inch slotted drain tile, like 18 inches below the surface of the ground, like ran a couple of small trenches 18 inches below the ground on each side of that location you're talking about, and ran those to the rear of your property, and put in is what is called a stone field, which is basically the equivalent of a 32-gallon garbage can in the ground. It's not really a container, but it's just digging a hole about the circumference of a garbage can at the rear of the property, and running those drain tiles to that location and filling that with stone, like grade 9 stone with the 4-inch slotted drain tile, which is very inexpensive. For the equivalent of about $500, I think you could divert that problem for quite some time. And I would also just say that while I'm saying this, I'm sure that there are some plumbers or something out there that are listening that could call in and verify that what I'm saying is true or give you better advice. Yeah. But I know that I've done that for a number of people, and it has definitely helped to alleviate a problem for either a time or permanently.
No, that's good to know. I can't go to the back of the property because between the house and the back of the property is a 40-foot Connex box. I guess I can go to the front of the Connex box. It wouldn't be very far, but that would be about the best I could do here. Behind the Connex box is just a wall that isn't mine that goes straight up. There's very, very limited footage here, but I certainly could get away from the current hole to infect a new hole, which may be the way to do. Of course, I'll have to do this in the dark of night because you're technically not supposed to repair cesspools.
Well, I would say that while I'm saying this, you know, some of this may be within code and outside of code. And I will say that I've done it either way.
Well, exactly.
I've gone with the law and against the wall. Both ways have helped people, and it has alleviated their problems.
Now, between now and then, I haven't noticed any untoward problems here in the house. And I was saying to John earlier, I said, okay, there's the big hole. Now, what about the stuff in the house? When does it start backing up?
Yeah, well, that's why I said if you rent it, you can run it, or you can when you originally build a house. Depending on when your house was built, certain codes existed. At some point, codes were made where drain tile was required to be put in alongside or on top of the footing of a house.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the houses that were built prior to that time, drain tile was not required. But if you dug around the perimeter of your house, mm-hmm. as little as 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
If they dug around there a little as 2 feet, put in a little bit of stone, put a 4-inch drain tile in there with a sock mm-hmm. over it, and then cover that over with stone, even if it's right at the top of the, even if it's only 18 inches above, below the surface of the ground, with stone, being visible. When the water comes off of the gutters or any of the water surrounds the house, that carries the water far off, and causes the basement to not, or the basement or the crawl space or whatever you got to not have the potential to be flooded. So,
right. No, it's good. Good advice. Now, I will say, to understand this house, you have to understand what the mining houses were about. They were not built with plumbing of any sort. And so that was an absolute add-on. And nothing.
Can I ask you, without asking a specific area, can I ask you just like a general area, a general state?
Oh, sure. No, I absolutely tell you. I'm in the middle of nowhere in Arizona.
Okay.
And I mean the middle of nowhere.
I'm familiar with that. My uncle came from Kingman.
Kingman's a city. I know all about Kingman. No, that's a city. We're mining territory. So, we're talking. We're higher elevation in the hills and mountains, mining territory that's basically been abandoned.
Gotcha.
Yeah. But all right, good advice. And John.
Fluoride and Oatman would be the two that I can think of that would be closest to that.
Yeah. All right. Well, good deal. Thank you for calling, and I will take all your suggestions to heart.
All right. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yes, very good suggestions. 888-876-5593. We'll check out what's happening in the WGN Radio newsroom right now on WGN Radio.
Boston beans, soybeans, how have you been, stream bean? I'm not keen for a bean,
unless it is a cherry coffee bean.
I love coffee, I love tea, I love the jabba jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the jive and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. I love Java, sweet and hot. Whoops, Mr. Moto, I'm a coffee pot. Shoot me the pot and I'll pour me a shot. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup. So slip me a slug from that wonderful mug and I'll cut a rug till I'm snug in the jug. A slice of onion on a raw one. Draw one. Waiter, waiter, percolator, I love coffee, I love tea. I love the jabba jive and it loves me. Coffee and tea and the jivin' and me. A cup, a cup, a cup, a cup, a cup.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Four King Sisters on Bluebird, RCA's subsidiary in 1940. That was before any of their chart stuff. And the King Sisters, of course, depending upon year, there were anywhere from like 3 to 6 of them. But there were 4 in 1940 when that was out. And that was a year before they ever charted with anything. But Alvino Ray had already married Louise, so he did the orchestra on that. And there were no King Sisters. They were really the Drigg Sisters from Pleasant Grove, Utah, in Utah County. County, but their dad's middle name was King, and they thought it played better. And, of course, Alvino wasn't really Hispanic either. He was Alvin McBurney of Cleveland, and he was married to Louise for 60 years until she died in 97, and then he remained in Utah. He had converted to the LDS religion and died in 2004 in Utah County. And Alice's son, that was another one of the sisters, Alice, her son was Lex Azevedo, who did a lot of that Bonneville easy listening music, you know, basically Steppenwolf with strings. Yeah, right, exactly. But had quite a career and was involved in their television show. They had one in the mid-60s. But nonetheless, that was Jabba Jive, based upon, of course, the British childhood rhyme that did everything from jump rope to God knows what. And there were tons of versions of that, from clean to dirty to racist. So there you have it. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Valerie is in Morinville. So hello, Valerie.
Hello, my dear. Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
It was buffed up against something, so I wasn't as easily open. So, my situation, we had 3 acres of land just inside the Nisqually Basin in Washington State.
Well, you had enough for a septic system, and that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, ours collapsed.
Oh, they can, but it's a whole different world. Septic and cesspool are only very, very, very distantly related. So I'm not asking for septic advice.
Yeah, well, for me, the reason I'm even talking about it with you is because not only did the top of the tank crash in, but the drain field, the tile drain field, also collapsed.
Mm-hmm. The leach field, sure.
Yeah, the leach field. Mm-hmm. And that leach field was also drained into our seasonal swamp that our seasonal pond.
That was a bad idea, but okay.
Yeah, well, our original land was originally old growth forest.
Uh-huh.
And the trees that were on it were second growth.
Uh-huh.
So, needless to say, it didn't always perk right because there were also clay layers.
Yeah, I don't have any of those problems.
Yeah, well,
I've just got the possibility of the house collapsing. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm rooting for you.
Thank
and
you.
Not have to worry about having Oh, wrong word. Okay, that word's not coming. Well, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yes,
so.
Yes. No, I appreciate your thoughts, and I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, this is absolutely not a septic discussion, which is a whole different animal. And if you've dealt with both, then you know that. But like I said, I had to laugh with all the sites that I saw that had all these warnings about imminent death. I'm like, wait a minute. And I guess theoretically you can, but death was not my primary concern when I saw the giant hole in the ground. All right, so Leah and Marcus Hook, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
Well, you know that answer.
Yeah. Did you get my email last week?
I don't know. What did it say?
Oh, about why. I'm sorry I didn't call because I haven't been feeling very well.
Oh, no. No, I did not. And so tell me, what's up? What's wrong? What's going on?
I have this incredible, horrible kidney pain, my right kidney.
No.
I thought it was kidney stones because I'm prone to them.
Yeah.
But I went for an x-ray and they said it's not kidney stones.
So what is it?
And they don't know. I went for a CAT scan today with some contrast, so I have to wait till tomorrow to get the result.
Where is the pain exactly?
In my right kidney.
Okay, but rather than telling me what organ, tell me exactly what part of your body.
Right lower quadrant in the back.
Okay. All right. Well, there are other possibilities, but I'm surprised.
And I have nausea. Nausea.
Which
so they said that's common with a kidney stone, but it's also common with renal kidney failure.
Oh yeah, of course it is. You betcha. And other things as well. They didn't want to do an ultrasound.
No.
Okay.
And I don't know why.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised about that, but that's all right. All right, so you'll get the results tomorrow. Are you extremely tired?
Well, yeah, because I'm on a lot of pain medication.
Oh, yeah. Right, then you wouldn't know either way then. But yeah, the nausea, absolutely. Fever?
Plus my anemia is back, so I would be tired anyway.
Right. So. Fever?
No, do not have a fever.
Okay.
It's not a UTI.
Okay.
They already ruled that out.
Right. Well, that's easy to rule out.
Albert was up when he heard your story, and he trained as a plumber, and he said you need a French drain.
Aha. Okay.
That's just what he said. I don't know. He was just in here when you were telling your story.
I will check that out. So you got the nausea. You might have the weakness. You don't have irregular heartbeat, or you'd have told me.
No.
Tell me about your urine output.
Fine. I mean, it's like crazy. They told me to push clear liquids, and that's what I've been doing.
Right. And so color's normal. It's not like dark brown?
No.
Mm-mm. I don't think this is renal anything.
You don't?
Uh-uh. Not from what you're...
No, well, it's... I mean, I can tell that it's internal, though.
Oh, I don't doubt it's internal, but it doesn't, I'm no doctor, it could be anything, but from what you're telling me, that's not the first place I'd go. I know why you went there because of the pain, but that's not the first place I'd go. It just, you're not dealing with a lot of fluid retention, you're not dealing with decreased urine output, the urine color is fine, you've got the nausea, but you don't have, like, irregular heartbeat or chest pain or, you know, any of that stuff.
And I have a pulse ox meter, so I check it all the time,
Right, right. And so, it doesn't sound like that's a huge problem now, but God, of course you're going to want to find out about this. So you get the results tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
Okay, well, let me know. I just looked for your email, and the only thing I got on January 1st, I have one that you sent, but it has no subject line and it has nothing in it.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's
all
I got.
Oh, no, I sent this last Thursday or Friday.
Didn't get it. And then I got a Happy New Year's one on December 31st, and, of course, the same to you. So, but we talked after that. So.
I know. Yeah.
So, nope, your email has not arrived.
I felt bad for not calling because you were needing callers that night, and I felt bad, so I emailed you. I'm sorry I didn't call, and this is why.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
I was in so much pain, you know?
Yeah, no, that absolutely, no, that comes first. But no, there were a couple things and nothing. So other than the Happy New Year, and likewise to you, of course, that's been it. So they aren't making it here.
Oh, okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know that I'm listening, and I'm sorry if I don't call all the time.
Well, I want you to either call or write tomorrow and let me know what they say when you get the results.
I will.
Yeah, well, good luck.
I will. Just everybody pray for me.
Absolutely.
Pray that I get a good result. Pray that I get a result.
Well,
I don't want them to just say, well, no, it's not your kidneys, and then we don't know what's wrong with you, because I can't even lie down. I don't have a comfortable position to lie in to get some sleep. I mean, I just...
Well, obviously something is going on, and you do need to get to the bottom of it.
I want them to do a body scan.
Okay. Can be done. But most insurance will not cover that.
I know.
And so now
I've always wanted one anyway.
Yeah, now you're talking about deluxe bucks. They're not cheap.
I know they're not.
Yeah,
I've always wanted one.
But any test that you would need because of medical symptoms, that probably would be covered. So rather than a whole body scan, you need to get with some provider who at least will take more tests.
Yeah, well, see if nothing shows up. I mean, they used they did contrast with the dye.
Yeah, right.
So now, maybe something will show up.
Have they also taken your blood to do a complete blood workup to see if anything's showing?
Yeah, they did that. The day before,
anything
showed up.
Okay, all the blood levels are normal.
Well, except for my anemia, yeah.
Right, I understand that. Other than that, no, well, yeah, well, that's actually good in some ways that your liver enzymes aren't through the roof or anything, because that can be indicative of a few things. But, yeah, it's a mystery, and I'd love to know.
Yeah, do you think they just missed the kidney stone in the
X-ray? No, I don't think that. But normally, I would have thought they would have gone with ultrasound with that, but I don't think it's a case of that they missed it. I think something else.
Do you think I should request an ultrasound?
Well, no, you need a doctor or a provider that you trust and go with what they think. You know, don't listen to some nutso talk show host when it comes to your health. But you know what I mean. You want somebody who you can rely on to have the goods. And but I definitely wouldn't take, oh, you're fine, because clearly you're not fine.
Right, clearly.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they never say that, but they'll do like, well, we can't find anything. And then they'll just like be, oh, well, you know, like, what do I do then, you know?
Well, no, you should, you know, obviously you're saying, well, we're going to look further. What else could this be? But the fact that nothing's showing up in your blood rules out a number of things that they would otherwise be looking for.
Yeah, well, she's the new doctor, so I have to...
Well,
see how she handles it.
Exactly,
tomorrow,
exactly. And yeah, and you don't want her to rely on, well, there's nothing here, it's all in your head. No, unacceptable.
Because this is an inordinate amount of pain, and I can't.
Right.
I just can't handle it.
And it's primarily lower back pain on one side.
Yeah, but it's not, like, it's, you can tell it's not muscular.
Yeah, right. But I mean, just in terms of location, you don't have abdominal pain as well.
No, okay. No, I don't know. Sometimes it does radiate towards the front, but not. That's only when I lie in a certain position.
Uh-huh. Well, I think if you had an infection, that would show up in your blood work, no doubt about that. And
yeah, if it was like my appendix or something,
well,
I would have a fever, right?
Well, probably, but I mean, you'd see your white count would be through the roof on that. But the deal is, you know, if it were something like, for instance, if you had gallstones, a blockage, you know, usually your liver enzymes just shoot way up there. You start seeing things in the thousands instead of double digits.
Well, I don't have a gallbladder.
No.
So.
Well, you know what I mean. I'm using that as an example because it's one that is very easily noticeable when there's a blockage. When there's
right.
a bile blockage, you can see that in the liver enzyme right away. So I think if it was any form of a blockage, you would be seeing that in blood results. And obviously, if it was an infection, your white count would be through the roof, and some other things would be as well. So this is
right.
one. This is
they
one.
Did
of these
a
things.
Urinalysis too, and I don't have a UTI.
Yeah. Well, that. Yeah, that's easy and quick, and I didn't think you did. So, well, I have a feeling that Donna and Oaklawn and Sherry, they're all lining up to talk to you. Maybe they've got some suggestions. Keep listening and let me know.
Great. Okay.
All right.
Thank you
Good
so
luck,
much.
Leah. We'll keep you in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. So, whoa, that's bad. I hate that when you don't know what it is. And, of course, then your mind goes all over the place in terms of what it could be. Yeah, and... God forbid you start looking it up online. Never do that. 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that, of course, is Tavares. And it was Frank who emailed, and he said, well, it's disco, but would you play Heaven Must Be Missing an Angel? And my answer is, of course, it's Tavares, one of my favorite groups. Of course I will. 1976 on Capitol. Got to number 3 on the R&B charts, 15 on the pop charts, and I agree with Frank, it's a wonderful record. And of course, keep Chubby in your prayers. As I mentioned before, I was a huge Tavares fan, dating all the way back to Chubby and the Turnpikes. I know the inside story and all of that, promises. And Chubby retired December 30th from touring and performing for health reasons. And so we keep him in our prayers, along with adding Leah to the list. And we heard from Julie. Julie is Laura's sister, Laura from Des Plaines, and she asked that we keep Laura in our prayers as well. Stacy in Algonquin had told us, of course, that she's at home now and doing much better, but no reason to let up with those prayers now. Laura, we're pulling for you. That's to say the least, as well as Joan in Michigan, who we heard from. You're not alone, Joan, that is for sure. And Bob and Carolyn, both in Tennessee. And I got an email from Carolyn, really appreciated that, and Bob got his gift pack, so that's great, and I hope he'll be feeling better in no time. And likewise, I hope that it will be pleasant times for Carolyn here. Not easy when you're navigating cancer, that's for sure. Gary in Austin, his hands, and Fran's kidneys, and oh gosh, we've got Sherry's cousin Jimmy, and I don't know if he's still in rehab, but nonetheless, I know he's been having trouble with the feet. Eric in Barrington, and let's see, Monica's doing better, Clark's wife. I haven't heard about how Robert in Nashville, that's Marlo's cousin, Marlo from Jackson, how he's been doing since that horrible, horrible accident. And Sam and Gurney, I haven't heard about Ayla lately either. She was at Lutheran General, but hopefully all is going well. And that's our list to date, and hopefully everybody will be feeling better. And we got another hour of this, and we're going to talk to Sherry in Naperville and Donna in Oak Long and James on the South Side, be it about cesspools or just the news of the day. Yeah, like I say, they're in hyperdrive in Michigan in what they're not allowing prisoners to read. German and 32 Easy Lessons. What are they thinking the prisoners are going to do? All right, well, all that and more is coming up next hour right here on WGN Radio.
What's it all about, Alfie? Is it just for the moment we live? What's it all about when you sort it out, Alfie? It is wise to be cruel. And if life belongs only to the strong, Alfie, what will you lend on an old golden rule? As sure as I've been here, there's a heaven above, Alfie. I know.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and it's Dionne Warwick, the original Scepter 45 from 1967, Alfie. Number 5 on the R&B charts, 15 on the pop charts, and it was Cindy in Norwich last night who requested we play that. So I kept my word, Cindy. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Donna is in Oak Lawn. Donna, welcome back. No, what's going on here? We're trying to welcome her back, but it's not working. Huh. All of a sudden, I'm getting the beach ball of death. And, yeah, that's odd. All right, so we'll be talking to Donna in a moment, as soon as I can figure out what to do with this computer program. Yeah, it's frozen. And John is screening calls as we go. There we go. All right, so Donna, are you there?
I sure am.
All right.
Back in the 80s, I had couldn't stand up straight, had lots of abdominal left quadrant wrapped around to the back, no rebound, no temperature, didn't have heart palpitations, didn't have any sort of shortness of breath, but the pain was incredible. And I bounced from my primary care to OB-GYN. Nobody exactly knew what the heck was going on. Finally, I managed to convince somebody that there was something happening. And my OB-GYN went in and did laparoscopic. When he did my little belly button and opened me up, I had adhesions all over the place. And he spent a good 4 hours doing lysis. Got rid of the pain, and nobody could figure out where that stuff was coming from, why I had adhesions, but they were there. And as soon as I had underwent the little belly button surgery for a couple of hours, recovered, and haven't had a problem since.
You bring up
initially
something.
Initially, they thought it might have been perforated bowel, but I didn't have a temperature.
Yeah.
My white cells were fine. Didn't show up on x-ray, didn't show up on a CAT scan, didn't show up on an MRI.
It's interesting. What you're bringing up, of course, is endometriosis, and people usually think that, well, that's just uterine and that's it, but it doesn't have to be. There's such a thing as kidney endometriosis. It's very rare, but it does happen. And,
bingo.
When you get an endometriosis problem, you're convinced you're dying there. And
yes, indeed.
So I hadn't really thought about that, but without the markers for infection, and I didn't ask, but I assume she's not dizzy in any of the classic symptoms you'd get, it very well could be an endometriosis type of issues. And unfortunately, like you say, it's not easy to diagnose that with the standard stuff, and because you don't see it on the lab tests and you don't see it on the blood work and all that,
and there's no rebound tenderness.
That's when they start looking at the oscopies of whatever, cystoscopy, whatever, there's so many of that. The problem is they're invasive tests, and so you really want to rule everything out before you do that. But it may be the only option. But I wish there was a scan that would show endometriosis. Well, you'd think that something would, but...
nothing.
Yeah, that's...
And it doesn't show up on ultrasound either.
Well, yeah, and I'm surprised it doesn't show up also on MRIs of any type. Well, you would think that it would, because a lot...
Soft tissue.
Yeah, so I don't know. But that's a good thought. It could be type of adhesions like that from some form of endometriosis, which, like I say, is not necessarily limited just to the uterus by any means.
Well, it could be uterus and crawl up.
It could be. Well, it could start anywhere, of course. And I mean,
exactly.
Theoretically, it could also be growths, and I'm not talking about tumors per se, but cysts or things like that. It could be anything in that fibrous layer is absolutely a possibility. So
and
that,
my OB-GYN thought that it might be because I had fibroids,
uh-huh.
That it might have triggered it.
Yeah, well, and they don't know. They can, it's the practice of medicine because they're still practicing, and they can think all they want, but they don't know. But you're right that's if Leah gets the all clear and they say, we don't know, the next thing to think about is some type of growth, be it endometriosis or some type of a cyst or something.
And I'll tell you right now, I couldn't stand up. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't, and it was incredibly painful.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. That's where I say sometimes things that are from the biological sense relatively benign comparatively make you feel like you'll be dead by Thursday.
Oh yeah, I'd be positive.
Yeah.
Absolutely positive.
Yeah.
I'm for sure, they'd find something horrific.
Right. Exactly. But no. Thank God.
It was just very tedious for him to do
well, right.
Lysis of adhesions.
Right, but laparoscopic surgery is fairly good. It's you know, it's invasive, but nowhere near invasive like it used to be. So,
Since he was the guy who invented it.
Oh, wow.
I was in good hands.
Oh, yeah. And now, thank God, a lot of doctors are very experienced at it because it's not new. It's been around for a few decades now. And also, more and more robotic surgery has worked out very well. It's a scary thought, you know, when we think of it as a concept, but it works really well.
Well, it also depends on where you're at. You know, fortunately, I was in the city, and I had, you know, a good teaching hospital going for me.
Right. Right. Well, Leah is in Marcus Hook, but that's reasonably close enough to Philadelphia. And Philadelphia has some darn good medical.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully she can get to the bottom of this. And I wholeheartedly agree that if they tell her it's all in your head or it's nothing or we didn't find anything, that that's not the end of the story.
She has to persevere.
Yes, absolutely. Well, all good advice. Thank you, Donna.
You take care, Jolly.
Okay, you too.
Yeah.
Okay, bye. All
bye
right.
Bye.
So yes, indeed. I hate it when it's those things that seem to be elusive. Sherry in Naperville. All right, Sherry. So tell us your story. Sherry, are you there? We've lost Sherry. I don't know how that happened, but hopefully Sherry will call back. And meanwhile, Stacy in Algonquin, how's it going, Stacy?
Hi, Rolly. I'm so sorry for your problem and with the back, the cesspool. I hope that gets fixed and everything.
Yeah, either that or we're going to have a pond.
Oh, my. No, I did hear, I happened to text Laura.
Yeah.
And she texted me that she was in a hospital in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And they had to do blood transfusions and all this other stuff. But she said she's staying in Uptown Chicago with her sister.
With Julie, okay, who wrote to us, yes.
And she said, you know, when she's better and stuff, she'll text me and everything.
Yeah.
And I want to send out my prayers to everybody who's sick. You know, I had a dentist appointment tomorrow for cleaning.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I called just earlier, and I said, I just can't make it.
Yeah.
I just do not feel well. Please, please don't charge me. I said, I try to come for tomorrow, but I just can't. I'm just
not feeling well,
and I'll call them back in the morning.
Yeah, you gave them notice.
Like my hands are numb.
Really?
And then I get anxiety in the back of my neck,
uh-huh.
which can't even.
Ugh.
I take Tylenol, and sometimes I take Benadryl to relax and everything. Oh, God. I'm so sorry for everybody.
Yeah.
Problems.
If you start to have chronic pain, like chronic neck pain or something like that, you really want to get into some physical therapy because there's so many things that can help you. I had chronic neck pain like you wouldn't believe, and I tried every chiropractor in the world and nothing. And finally, a doctor said, you're going for physical therapy. And it took a couple months, but I don't have neck pain now. So, you know, sometimes it's a case, and I still have some, I'm still going because I still, unfortunately, most of my muscles have atrophied. So I'm still building muscle, and it's not fun on the do-it-yourself-at-home stuff that they give you the homework, but it does make a difference.
I know, and I don't know, Rolly, it's maybe because, you know, Raldo, he went to this dentist last year, around this time,
mm-hmm.
and I could tell he didn't want anything else done, and as soon as he went out with me, he said, I don't want to go back, find a new dentist.
All right.
And after that, he got really, really sick.
Yeah.
And that's when he died, and I just called in, and I said, please, I just can't make it. I'm just not well. And I want to find another dentist under my plan.
Yes, no, you should find another dentist. Given that history, you're probably not comfortable going there, and there's a ton of dentists. And, you know, if you more important than the dentist is whoever the hygienist is, if she's really good at cleaning. And especially very often periodontists have great cleaners who can do the deep scraping that stuff.
I mean, I don't know. It's been really rough.
Of course.
But, you know, I'm trying to hang in there. But, you know, when you just don't feel yourself.
Well, sure.
I went upstairs with the girls. And I think I've been doing too much.
Well.
You know, they're giving me the big bags. And yeah. I said, wait a minute. And then I went downstairs and we did the cabinet. And I'm doing it. And I just can't do that. I said, I've got to check my blood. I need insulin. I said, I've got to rest.
Well, and you should rest.
I'm doing too much.
Right. Listen to your body and listen to your thoughts. And when you say, gee, I don't want to go to this dentist, then don't. Just listen to what nobody's ever died of a lack of a cleaning. So if it takes another month to find another dentist or even another couple months, your teeth aren't going to fall out of your head. Don't worry about it. You don't want to let...
I know.
You don't
You have to go by your feelings and everything.
Yes, you do. And so, you know, the thing about cleaning out like you're doing, you're cleaning out years of things, and you're not only cleaning out items, you're cleaning out memories. And that has an emotional toll. And the people helping you want to do what's best and get this done, but they don't have the emotional value of what you're going through. So when you hit that wall and you say, I just can't right now, don't.
I know.
Just don't.
Especially all the drawers, and then all we have to do the rest of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
all
of these memories.
Right, of course it is. And as I've said, never look at the big picture. Don't look at it all together. It's just one piece at a time. And when you hit that point where you said, I've had enough memories for a while, maybe you take a few weeks where you don't do any clean out, and then you get back to it. Let your own emotions be your guide.
I know, even my eyes, I just start crying.
Well, of course. As I say, these are emotional memories, and anybody who thinks they're not just hasn't been through it.
Right, but I just wanted to call in and just let you know the extra part about Laura, and that I send out all of my well wishes and prayers to everybody that isn't feeling well, all of my blessings, all of my prayers. And for you to get your stuff together, you and John, and I'm sorry about that.
That's always something. Yeah, this too shall pass, you know? I mean, what's life without its challenges? So it'll be fine.
Oh, what? Raleigh, what time do we write the check?
Oh, that's a good
on
question.
On the 21st.
No, that's a real good question, because, of course, Marianne won't be joining us this week because she's in the middle of her move. So, she's moving. They're going to be closer to one of her daughters, which is good. In the Cleveland area, they're staying where they are, but closer to one of the gals. So let me look at the lunar calendar, and hopefully we have one for 2023.
I think you said something like...
Yeah, here we are. All right, yeah.
Close to 5 o'clock?
Yeah, I think so. So let me look for sure, because we don't want to guess. Okay, it is, yes, actually, Eastern time, it would be on Saturday, January 21st, and do it before 3 o'clock. So
before 3 o'clock.
Yeah, the actual new moon occurs at 3:53 Eastern time, so that's 2:53 on Central Time. And so I would say, you know, if you do it at 2:45, that's a great time.
2:45?
Yeah.
Okay, 24. Oh, I'm glad I asked.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, you know, last time everybody asked and all that, and then I forgot myself about it. So this time, always figures, I'm going to write it down this time so I can write mine too.
But I will let you go to the next caller.
All right.
And my prayers to everybody... You're going to all get better.
Yeah, and so are you.
You've got all of my prayers, believe me. We'll all get better.
Absolutely.
And hopefully it'll be a better year.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'm counting on it. Thanks, Stacey. I appreciate it. Okay, bye.
You take care. I hope everything works out, Raleigh.
Thanks. Yeah, it will in the long run. It always does. Just takes a while. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Elizabeth, a first-time caller, coming up next in Rock Falls, Illinois on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's the original Night Train, Jimmy Forrest, which we're playing for Frank, and we'll get back to it. But I want to find out from Elizabeth, who's a first-time caller, what she wants to know, and then we're going to check in with the news to see what they've got going on. But Elizabeth, so what do you want to know?
Hi, Raleigh. I just want to know if you've ever had a song just pop into your head from way back when, and you wonder how in the world you still remember all the words.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if you heard that when you were somewhere, you know, between the ages of like 10 and 18, it almost like a blueprint on your mind. You can't remember anything they taught you in history, but boy, you know every word to those songs. Yes, of course.
Well, I know my mother sang to me a song called There's a Long, Long Trail A-Winding Into the Land of Your Dreams. And I think it was a World War I song. If I'm not mistaken.
All right, well then, hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll leave you in the trail right there, and we'll pick it up in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Nights are growing very lonely. Days are very long. I'm a growing weary only.
So that's the first recording of it ever, and that was written in 1913. A couple of seniors at Yale, Stoddard King and Zoe Elliott, wrote it, and it became a big World War I song and then World War II song, and on it goes. But the first actual recording of it was James Reed and James Harrison. You just heard them in 1915, and after that, a number of people, Frank Sinatra and Bing Crosby, actually sang it as a duet on the radio in the 1950s, but I didn't have that one handy. It probably would have been better. But we're talking to Elizabeth, a first-time caller, so is that the one you remember?
Oh, yeah. And I don't know, I just don't understand how your brain remembers words from so long ago and the whole thing. I mean, not just parts of it.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And I think my mother sang it to me when I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
Perfect. Yeah, and you won't forget that. Of course not.
And I'm 84 now.
Yeah.
Still singing it.
Sure.
And there's one more weird thing, Raleigh.
Yeah.
I have to take prednisone every once in a while.
Not one of my favorites.
When I'm on prednisone, I sing all the time.
Oh, man. Well,
just any song.
That's a much better side effect than I got. Man. Yeah, and I'm sure friends and neighbors are happy that didn't happen to me also. But yeah, if that's your only prednisone side effect, you're doing real well.
It is the only
wow.
One.
Wow.
The doctor even laughed. He said, I've never heard of that before.
No, exactly. Most of us just blow it up and our faces get fat and all that. Yeah, I mean, oh, please. Singing is not a bad thing all the way around. That's great.
It's very weird.
Yeah, it is.
Every time.
That's true. Well, see, now you've got something to sing when that happens. You can start with There's a Long, Long Trail. Nights are growing very lonely. All right.
One more little thing.
Yeah.
My grandson is in college.
Yeah.
But he comes over here every Friday afternoon, and we listen to his music.
Mm-hmm.
He's 22.
Mm-hmm.
His music is from the 70s and 80s.
Okay.
My music is from the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, you and me both. Yeah.
We can sort of bear with each other.
Yeah, well, absolutely. But yeah, I'm with you on the 50s. From the pop standards right through rock and roll, I'll take them all.
Right.
All right.
So last night or Friday, we went from ABBA. What's the name of the game?
Oh, God.
There's something by Van Halen. I can't tell you what.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think I'd want to sit both of those out myself.
We have a good time doing it, though.
That's great, though. And that's terrific. And I'm so glad he comes over and still wants to be involved. That's nice.
No, that's wonderful.
Yes,
I'm very, very fortunate, I know.
Yeah. That's terrific. All right, well, I hope you're going to call me again.
I will, Raleigh. It's very nice talking to you.
Likewise, Elizabeth. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
All right, so good to meet Elizabeth in Rock Falls. So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. Diane in Chicago, welcome back to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. I was calling to thank you. In the mail I received today, that your certificate and a couple of magazines, like the Inquirer and Us magazine.
Okay.
And some kind of Avengers comic book thing.
Okay.
So I don't know. That graphic novel thing is kind of something that's not my thing.
No, of course not.
So I'll find
a kid.
But last time when I received, you sent me a movie too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, you got a DVD. Yeah, you betcha.
I forgot the title of it. Whatever it is, family movie.
Good.
The title. I forgot the title of it.
That's all right.
I had it here.
Well, I'm glad it arrived.
I just opened it and everything.
Yeah.
It was that family movie of...
Okay.
Darn. Can't think of the title. But anyway, I don't have a movie player thing anyway.
Give that away, too.
The last time, but I like, you know, old movies and things. But this was a... I gave it to a barista at Starbucks.
Uh-huh.
Who appreciate it.
Good.
So I figure I'd pass along to somebody who would enjoy, you know, something like that. But darn it, I can't find it. I misplaced it already.
It'll show up just when you're not looking for it.
I know. I've got everything here except that. It was the movie... Anyway, it was a fairly recent movie, like an 80s movie, a family movie. So
good.
I'm sure, and I did recognize the title, so I know it's a...
So it's a real movie. Okay, good.
No, I know it's a title that was pretty much of a popular popular movie.
Good.
But anyway, these tabloid things, I remember when Inquirer was 15 cents here.
Yes, I know.
You know. I don't recognize all these stars. You know, there's so many stars that...
Yeah.
I wouldn't even know who they are.
Me too.
The fashion thing. This person posing here and there.
I don't know them either.
A couple of things on. Then there's the Meghan and Harry stars, of course.
Yeah.
So I recognize them. But all these young stars, you know. But remember when the movie magazines like Photoplay, Modern Screen, and TV Radio Mirror.
Right.
And the other one was Motion Picture. There was four of them. They were 25 cents each.
Oh, I remember.
Had the Blind Adams, and they had Hedda Hopper and Luella Parsons. You know what I mean?
Sinatra, of course.
Judy Garland, Richard Burton, and Liz Taylor. Those were all the Sandra Dee, Bobby Darin.
Right.
Those were the people. I'm sure some of your callers, like the lady talked about the old music. That was our, our show.
Of course,
Of course, Elvis though, and Motown and all of that later, and still in my era.
Yeah.
But there was an article in one of these in this Inquirer. They'll have a little health thing, talking about people who are isolated, and it's not a good thing for the heart.
Right.
Isolate the social contact.
Uh huh.
Even if you live alone, though, in a big city, you can alleviate that, because if you gab to people and things like that, and I was wondering. Don't you think that they should, in cities, have a place where people can have some of that music that you were talking about the other day, I guess when you were discussing Franklin McCormick and things like that with another caller. But a place where there would be a gathering, where it would be semi-casual, and, you know, have a place for older people. I've said that to a lot of people. Why isn't there, there's so many bars that are all alike, and I don't go to these bars, and they've got this loud, you know, the sound system music.
Well, and I'll tell you.
It's not even music, and it's not even, you know, you can't converse or anything. So if there could be a place maybe once, twice a month or something, have a, open up a ballroom, a place, some venue, and have it for people who are like over, call it over 40 even, call it over 50, just to gather in semi-formal ways, you know, maybe a little dressed up, maybe not necessarily, but sort of, because people are basically, I think, well, I wouldn't say shy, but people don't want to do what anybody else doesn't do. So if there was that welcoming thing where they would consider the senior person, but they don't. They ignore and take for granted the senior people. But one good thing is socializing and music.
Oh, absolutely. Now, it's interesting.
I mean,
you're,
it's a deprived generation in that regard, especially after COVID.
Interesting you're saying this, because for a commercial venture, it doesn't make a lot of sense because there's no money in it. But even even in the middle of nowhere, like where I am, I'm truly in rural America. But even so, both the libraries here and the senior centers here, and we've got a few of them, have events all the time like that. And, you know, they also will put on concerts and stuff. And so it's very much alive in the middle of nowhere. So I just wonder if there aren't venues in Chicago area that you just don't know about, maybe that are there.
Right. You're right. Yeah, I don't have a computer in it. No, right. I don't really need, I'm not really speaking on my own behalf.
Right. Well,
so much as if, but I would like, big band type of thing.
Sure.
To go as an occasion. But
right.
I can mingle with lots. There's a lot of mingling one can do. One can go to political events, this and that, and all of that. Or, you know, various. You see people a lot.
Right.
We're everywhere. As far as venues, there are, I think, mainly more associated with people who are people senior center.
Right.
But there is that stereotype of the senior, quote-unquote, thing where, you know, maybe bingo and things like that. And I think churches, I'm not a Catholic, but the Catholic churches, I guess, have, sure, there are places that you could go to, but those are things that are just sort of that stereotypical thing, I think. I'm not saying I've taken part. I wouldn't mind going to places like where you learn to play bridge or something like that.
Sort of right.
Thinking. But I'm talking about an actual music event.
Yeah.
Would be maybe a jukebox, but also meeting people where people could actually mingle, but, you know, just platonic friendships or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But sort of a feel of the I won't say romance, but the era, you know, like we're talking about, something that would be intended to be, you know.
Well, as I say, I think these
promote that,
right?
You know, and younger people, like it could be people younger as well, who need to be educated on that kind of music. So, if there was a steady place, say twice a month at, say, Navy Pier, at the end of it has a great big ballroom area. Okay, they could have that place. I mean, I'm saying they who, you know, like you say about, you know,
it's not going to be commercial, but I think
there's a venue there.
There's
if that was held every steady, if it was steadily, and there was an open mic maybe one night where you could go up and croon a tune, you know?
Right.
With a microphone, a regular microphone, not the sound system.
Well, no, I understand completely.
And then if it was steady, people would drift in, and it would build up, and young people would be welcome. So in other words, it would be a social event, period, for people who just like that type of music. That would be the main thing, would be the music, and the welcoming thing would be everybody's welcome, and everybody could be, you know. But if it have to be steady, that people know it's there,
right?
It's
it would also having this, also have to be non-commercial. It's got to be non-commercial. You won't be able to pull this off for a for-profit institution. But I think
people would pay too.
Well,
if there could be a pay at the door amount, people would go too.
Yeah,
I'm saying, but it wouldn't be huge revenue, you know, maybe.
Right.
But it could be, you know, all of these people who run all the bars and restaurants, and they have a million sports TVs and everything sports today.
Yeah, but the bars and restaurants can't do this, Diane. Believe me, the bars and restaurants cannot do this. They can't even appeal to people in their 40s, really. If you're running a bar or a restaurant, you need people in your 20s because you want people who are going to drink and drink and drink. And that's
exactly.
That's the way it's got. That's the way it's got to be. And so what we're talking about is something that would be non-commercial. And like I say, there's a ton of it where I am. You know, you mentioned like open mic and things like that. Hell, our library even has an adult karaoke night with a no booze once a week. You know, so there may be things like that that you just haven't found because they're not going to advertise. They're not going to have that kind of money. It's going to be word of mouth.
I've talked to people that are in the, you know, where the Ys, the YMCAs and things, or the Park District.
Mm-hmm.
And the Park District, you go in some of these very nice buildings and they have swimming pool and things like that. So events like that, and you sign up and whatever. And I don't do that much, but I've always planned on doing it, you know. But I'm always talking to people. So I was talking to some of the people who work there and asking, what do you have that is for? And they say, well, we used to have this or that, but we don't have it much now. We used to have a movie night. They don't even, there's not even that. But the venues, so when he said nonprofit versus commercial, when I went, what I meant by these bar owners, the ones who have a lot of bars, like just that run a lot of them, they could do it out of...
But they won't. They could
have the wherewithal to maybe have one of their venues.
They won't
have an event once, twice a month.
Now, I understand but I'm just saying I don't think it's going to happen. But there may be a way through some of these.
But would they lose that much money?
It would absolutely be their charitable contribution. They would completely lose. But that doesn't matter.
No, not just charitable. They could have a. They could have a.
No, you don't. You don't understand, do you? It's like beach music is my thing. I love beach music. And the last time I was in Myrtle Beach, well, actually, even further back than that, I said, "God, it's not any of the old great beach bands." And one of the club owners said to me, "Well, of course it's not. I don't want people in their 50s. They're not going to do what people in their 20s do when they come in and drink themselves under the table. I need the venue to." Be selling the alcohol. And it's just that simple. But I still say you got a great idea, but don't go after it commercially, because unless somebody wants to be the Red Cross and do it as a donation, there's no money in it. But
well, the city could.
That's right.
That would be
that's
the thing, but the
that's
city
exactly right. Got it.
Doesn't
right.
seem to care about. You know, they seem to have a
right. Well, that's
everything is about the youth, and everything's about now it's about the migrants, who are 5,000 of them here. Yeah.
Right. Well,
so everything's centered on attention. You know, as Arthur Miller said, attention, you know, should be paid. You know,
all right. Well, here's the deal.
Anyway,
it's a question of enough senior citizens in some way getting together, and whether it's through a senior center or whatever.
No, that's the thing.
Well,
people are shy. They
well, it's not going to be done for you.
They need the push a little.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Something that, you know, when say if somebody opens an open mic, I remember going one time, there's an reader, and I went over there long ago, and there was one place, because I like that.
Yeah.
And
I understand.
They would say, where they opened, and they had to close because nobody came. Well, they don't keep it open long enough for people to get warmed up to it. People don't want to go where they're going to go and stay in the winter, and then they find out that they're not having it this week. It needs to be a steady thing that needs to be advertised or pushed in a way.
That's well, if you can come up with a dollar, somebody might do it.
And it would build up and it would become a thing.
Okay.
It would become a thing because New York Times had an article too.
Okay, Diane, I need to go. I need to go and I need to go right now.
Well, anyway,
all right.
Thank you again.
Thanks.
For the
appreciate
item.
It. All right, glad you got it. Thanks. All right, we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. We only got a couple minutes left, so we'll forego the bumper. And it was actually Eduardo's request. We'll play it tomorrow night. But we'll talk to Sherry in Naperville for a minute here, and then James on the South Side. And sorry about that, Sherry. Welcome back.
Hi, it was my fault. I profusely apologize. We've had construction across the hall, and I am so used to putting my speaker on mute. So it's my fault, nothing to do with you guys.
All right.
But when Leia got on tonight, I said to David, I was in the kitchen putting stuff away. I said, is that Leia? And he said, yeah. And I said, oh, something's wrong. And I walked out here to listen to the radio.
But first of all, address the kidney infection thing. And I did have one when I got out of college because my mother, you know all about my mother, sort of. But I graduated at some time mid-May. And by September 1st, I had to be out of the house. Otherwise, she's going to put all my belongings on the front lawn. I signed a contract with an apartment. I ended up with a kidney infection. And I want to say, I don't remember if I had a CBC, complete blood test.
Right.
But I'm pretty sure I peed in a cup, like Doc Martin.
Oh, undoubtedly you did. Now, this is the real bad point. I got about 20 seconds left, but I got a whole show tomorrow night. So can you call me back and can we pick it up there?
As long as you call or you text Leah or whatever you do and tell her to listen.
Okay.
Yes, because I have a lot of, I lost weight, I had this, blah, blah, blah. And also the endometriosis. I had severe endometriosis. So, you know.
All right.
I can tell you all about those things.
She'll be listening.
I'll let you go.
All right. Thanks.
Appreciate it.
All right. And as usual, I hate to do this. I've got like 10 seconds. And those 10 seconds are all I have to say to James. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the links. And can we talk tomorrow night?
Yes.
All right. Good deal. I'll look forward to it. Thank you, James. I really appreciate the links.
Okay.
The best stuff. It really is. And man, that prison list from Michigan. Well, we'll get there. We thank Dan for keeping us on the air. We thank John for screening your calls. Above all, I thank all of you who called. That's a wrap. Until tomorrow night, 21 hours from now, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.